This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoding and Philip. We're taking a look down south because after 10 hours of debate on Monday in the Singaporean Parliament, Singapore passed a controversial law aimed at countering foreign interference in domestic affairs. So this has been dubbed the Foreign Interference Countermeasures Act, aka, I hope, FICA. The law allows authorities to order social media sites and internet providers to disclose user information or block content that they deem hostile.
Wow, 10 hours of debate in Parliament in Singapore. That must be a first for them. But basically, it will give the government powers to act against local proxies. That is like people in Singapore that are deemed to have carried out hostile information campaigns on behalf of foreign entities. Now, critics have said that this move is a human rights disaster, but Singapore says such a law is needed to counter serious threats. So what are the implications of this law, and what kind of threats is Singapore actually protecting itself from?
So for more on this, we have with us James Gomez, Director of the Asia Center. Good morning, James. Thanks for speaking with us today. Let's start with the basics. I mean, what are the implications of the FICA law that you see?
Good morning. Great to be here. There are three key things. First of all, the authorities can identify anyone. They have a standing list, but they can identify or classify anyone as politically significant persons. Once they do that, there's no transparency or accountability over official spying of their messages, private and public conversation. And they can also charge them just based on intent of acting on behalf of a foreign principal. So that's the first thing. The second thing is there are three sets of prohibitions. They can prohibit online content, prohibit donations from foreigners, and also prohibit foreigners from providing voluntary labels. So if you are in breach of this, there are two sets of penalties. First is you could be fined $500,000 and imprisoned for up to 7 years if the activity is on behalf of a foreign partner, which is covert, or up to fines of $100,000 and imprisonment of 14 years if the activity is likely to influence someone towards a political end.
Yeah, but you know, how serious is this so-called threat of foreign interference to Singapore's security? I mean, what is the government actually really worried about?
Yeah, in terms of reports and so on over many years, over the last 60 years, essentially the incidents are low. Three countries are always brought up as the bogeyman: China, US, and also Malaysia. In particular, Malaysia, when activists, go across the border and meet Malaysian politicians or NGOs, these have been, articulated in parliament and as well as in the local mainstream media as incidents of foreign interference. But I think the public is not convinced because the incidents are low and the people that have been targeted have actually been sort of low-level individual, mostly civil society activists.
So how does this affect Singaporeans on the ground? I mean, this sounds to be more like a political kind of push at the top, isn't it? With bogeymen from China, in US and Malaysia.
Yeah, I don't think it only affects Singaporeans. I think because it's the Foreign Interference Act, one has to be reminded that 40% of all people resident in Singapore are foreign. A bulk of them are from Malaysia. The key concern is really that the law is vague, it's arbitrary, it has wide-ranging surveillance capacity, it criminalizes intent, not action. But collectively, we can already see that it's giving rise to further self-censorship. Now, the law has been passed on paper. So now we will have to wait and see how it's operationalized. But if we look at the track record of other laws, we can see that those who will, fall victim of the law would be the low-hanging fruit for the regime. I mean, I take note, you said, 10 hours of debate in parliament, but perhaps I need to remind you listeners, it's a debate of a one-party dominant system. So as a result, I think the key thing we will see is a rise of self-censorship, and I think this will affect beyond Singaporean, but also the over 40% of residents who are all foreign in Singapore.
James, I mean, this law sounds like it's quite prone to abuse, just the overarching powers that come under it. Is there anything in the law or anything external to the law that can be done to have that check and balance or safeguard from abuse?
Yeah, I think this has been one main point about judicial review. But the comeback has been because this is a national security concern and deals with foreign powers. Therefore, the judicial review, as we would know, in terms of independent checks and balances, is not there. So this continues to be one of the more draconian laws that has come into place. And I think it remains to be seen, how much appetite the voters will have moving forward.
Do you then see a trend of clamping down on civil liberties? And this is a broader question, by countries in the region, is it going to be a rising trend? And can we expect more of such legislation being put into power to curb citizens' freedoms? Because what surprised me is Australia has a similar law, apparently.
Yes, I think we have to make a distinction between what kind of political systems, apply these laws. I think multi-party system, which have independent institutions, have the kind of checks and balances that can, keep an eye on the executive and those in power, as opposed to one party or dominant party or military regimes. So I think we need to make a distinction there. What is the trend in the region? Where the region is concerned here is sitting regimes are concerned about their loss in the control of the national narrative. So they are very much focused on blocking content, trying to reel in, compliance by internet service provider by compelling them to surveil their users and hold data. That's where we are at now. But where is the shift? The shift is that instead of, blacklisting, right, regimes in the region are moving to a one-stop switch, things that we have seen in Myanmar or the new national gateway law in Cambodia. So they want to surveil the whole internet infrastructure and have the capacity to turn it off at one time. But the problem when they do that is because when they turn it off, they also turn off all the business functions. So instead of moving to a blacklist, what regimes are doing is they want to have this one-stop infrastructure switch off, but they are also looking to set up a whitelist. So that means when they switch off, banks and other online gig economies can continue. Now, when they do that, there's one other element, because those who are suppressed internally will reach out across the border to others for international solidarity and help. And this is the other button they would want to put the stop. And I think Singapore is first off the bat with this foreign interference bill, in particular to deal with. And this is a regime of a region of copycats. So we can safely expect countries around the region would want to do that. But I think they will not suffer the same fate. I think the pushback from more independently designed societies, for example, in Malaysia with civil society, the judiciary, the media, where relevant and political parties may form that pushback of voices.
James, thank you so much for your comments. That was James Gomez, Director of Asia Center, giving us a very clear explanation of the implications of the FICA law and also just the broader trend of internet curbs that is being seen across the region. I mean, I find what he said very worrying.
I think it's the intent to basically control a national narrative. But if you want to basically build diverse thought, there will always have to be disagreement and dissent. And that's the challenge we have.
But that's what they don't want. They
exactly.
Don't want diverse thought. But what's interesting is that what is the consequence of this? Is that many of us might actually go down the rabbit hole of self-censorship. You don't even need the government to do anything.
Yeah.
You will just suddenly change your thoughts, what you write, what you say.
It's a cloud of fear.
Yeah, that will automatically happen.
Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.